Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show, wherever you get it, iPhone, Android, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We appreciate all the love and support, all the tweets, all the emails. Keep giving us those five-star ratings on iTunes. Type in About Last Night, click on the fifth star, give us a little comment on the page. Helps us climb the charts. We appreciate it. Thank you for going to see Ghostbusters. Holy shit. Got so many tweets and Facebook messages, and man, it was really awesome. Honored to be in that film. It's so good. It's so fun. Paul Feig crushed it. The ladies crushed it. It's a fun movie. What else do you want out of a movie like that? It's just so, you know, enjoyable from start to finish, with the comedy, the effects, the story, all the nostalgic elements. And I was pumped to be a part of it. A lot more of my scene is going to be in the DVD extras, I've been told. So make sure you get that when it comes out. And we had our first live Mad TV taping last Friday, and it was unbelievable. I cannot wait for this shit to come out. July 26th, 9 p.m., the CW, Tuesday night. Make sure you have a DVR, July 26th, the premiere of the reboot of Mad TV. Live taping was so fun. Just that rush, the energy you get from the live audience. It's something we were missing from all the pre-tape stuff we did 2 weeks prior, and people were pumped to be there. The cast really gelled. Will Sasso and Nicole Sullivan guest starred on this first episode and just crushed it. Being around pros like that really elevated our game, and it's only going to continue. Bobby Lee and Ike Barinholtz are coming through. So many others. It's going to be dope. So set your DVRs. July 26th, CW, Mad TV. Today's episode, holy shit, Brad Williams and Adam Ray, no guest, baby. Back to the old school classic ways. We hadn't discussed Brad's trip to China yet, so this episode is pretty much a full breakdown, which in listening to us break it down, there's so much to cover. I mean, from the racist undertones Brad experienced, to the overwhelming amounts of people, to how the comedy translated, to where he stayed, to his travel fiascos, no social media. He was hitting me up being like, can you post this tweet for me? I'm like, no. And it was just great. And Brad and I just, you know, get back to our roots of just riffing and having fun banter and going off on fun tangents. It's just a nonstop laugh fest from top to bottom. So enjoy this episode, Brad's China Breakdown. And, of course, follow Brad on Twitter, at Funny Brad. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy, at Aylin Podcast on Twitter, at Aylin Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, AstoriaMerchandise.com for all your Aylin merch info. We got those ET posters, mugs, and hats up. Shirts. So go over to AstoriaMerchandise.com and get all your Aylin merch. Bring them to the shows. Brad Williams is in Montreal July 20th through the 30th doing tons of shows. Go see Brad at the Montreal Comedy Festival. And then the rest of his tour dates at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I, of course, am off all summer doing Mad TV, but starting to stack those dates for the fall, so check adamraytv.com, which has been revamped with new videos, tour dates, pictures, all that stuff, and all my tour dates at adamraytv.com. So go check the site and come see me live. Going to be doing a big fall tour. Can't wait for that. And I think Brad and I are going to be rejoining the New Kids on the Block fan concert cruise this fall as well. I think we just confirmed that today. So, gonna be a lot of fun. Quick shout out to the Goo Goo Dolls. Brad and I went to their concert tonight at the Greek Theater with Collective Soul. It was unbelievable. Got to go backstage and kick with them after. Robbie and Johnny Resnick, thank you so much. You guys crushed it. You are true professionals, true rock stars. These guys still bringing it 30 years into it, man. Just crushing it. So grateful to get to go see them and kick it backstage after. Anyway, they crushed it. So many great episodes coming up. Bill Bellamy, holy shit. Brett Ratner's coming up. Wayne Brady, Brody Stevens. So many great episodes. So make sure you subscribe to About Last Night Podcast on iTunes so you can get all the fun coming at you. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, the merch info, the Mad TV info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night Podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That's exactly what you should be doing.
Really?
Was he really good at it? Just argumentative, persuasive, passive, you know, all the words that you don't want to describe in a lover or a friend or a backup singer.
More words that that Johnny Cochran would say.
or Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I mean.
What you need to do, okay, the contributions you're making that are not meaningful or that are apprehensive and debauchous.
What?
She's in the audience. Wait. But also, you are
debauchous? Oh, man, you sit down up there.
Now, debauchous, you have a problem with macaroni and cheese balls dipped in Cool Whip pizza sauce wrapped in bacon tortillas.
Listen, now, Dr. Phil, I don't know what you say. I got no problem with mac and cheese. I love mac and cheese.
Okay.
They are my two best girlfriends.
Okay.
Mac and cheese.
Hilarious. But also, your weight has escalated up into the three triple digits.
More to love, Dr. Phil. More to love.
More to love, but tougher.
Am I right, ladies?
Okay, that's one lady, and that's
but
your...
But she's right.
She's also huge. So she's supporting your problem. Look, you need to stop going to the fridge. You need to stop getting out of bed. Sit there and let them suck that shit out of your butt. We'll be right back. And he never lets them speak. And then when they're just like, but I, he's like, no, eat your words. You're probably hungry anyway. We'll be right back. He's so quick on the draw to let them rebuttal.
Well, and I will say, my dad being a lawyer, I never won a fight growing up. Ever. I was like,
what were those fights?
I'm not going to take out the trash. That's not my job. But then he would call witnesses. He'd have the trash guy come in and be like, "Well, I did not see you take out the trash." It was oh yeah, graphs, pie charts.
I did not. Yeah, if you were looking at Exhibit B, the full trash can.
Yeah.
Exhibit A, that photo of you flicking me off playing Madden when I said, "Please take out the trash, Brad."
Yeah, I could not win an argument with my dad, which is
what about with mom?
Oh, mom was a little bit of a pushover. Yeah. Mom, you know, you could always go to mom. Dad says no, then you go to mom.
You go to mom.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't win an argument with mom because it was mostly mom.
Right.
And mom had to play both parts.
Yeah.
And the way I would win an argument in my head was to slam the door and then scream stuff from inside the room.
I mean, that's a pretty powerful argument.
You know what's so funny? I mean, I love my mom so much. And, you know, I think about the fights we actually got in and some of the tones I used and the vocal levels that were thrown.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Well,
and then it just stopped one day. And then, but it, like, as far as...
What'd you like? Did you like gain a respect?
Yeah, it was literally when we were... I was going out to a party, I think, and it was like... a Friday night, and she was just staying home watching TV, and I was like, bye, Mom. And she was like, bye, have fun. And I was like, you're just by yourself? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not going out. And I'm also probably not going to yell at you ever again.
Wow, just in that moment.
But I'm going to get one more in. Bitch, make my sandwich.
but I'll enjoy that sandwich.
And then she would go, what? And I go, let me finish my sentence. Bitch, make my sandwich is on. Please, can you change the channel from tennis? It's on TBS.
Does that come on after... Dr. Phil, what you need to do...
It's Tyler Perry's Bitch Make My Sandwich.
Is stay tuned to Bitch Make My Sandwich.
Maybe you should be on that show and make the sandwich instead of eating it. We'll be right back.
By the way, if I don't do a Dr. Phil on Mad...
I mean, it kind of has to happen.
You know, I did it on Corolla. That was the first time I even knew I could do it. When we did that live Corolla pod in San Jose.
Oh, that's right.
That was incredible. We got such great feedback from that. And remember Corolla afterwards being like...
I can't
do a Corolla, buddy. No. Yeah. No, he complimented both of us. He was like, thank you for being here because it's so much easier.
Thank you, guys. You know,
Norm McDonald meets Cartman. Who the fuck is that?
That's my Corolla. It's a nasally drone.
It's like this. Passion fruit iced tea.
Get it on. Got to get it on.
No, I got no choice but to get it on. No. when I do
you
my
sound
norm,
like an old timey baseball announcer. Got no choice.
And then the shortstop goes over to first base.
Sheffield at second base. This Taco Timeout brought to you by Taco Bell, delivering fresh tortillas right out of the bun.
Oh,
you're like, what? That's not how a taco is made.
Yeah. No, and then the Norm MacDonald. When I do Norm MacDonald, it's just an impression. Like most of my impressions, they're impressions of other people doing the actual impression.
Yeah,
it's just me doing Jay Moore, who does a great Norm MacDonald. So it's just, oh my god! All right, so you know, just hanging out here doing a podcast, you know, with Adam Ray and Adam Ray from Seattle. Seattle is the Emerald City. Oh my god! A Wizard of Oz. That was a crazy movie. Yeah, that's the best. That's the best I could do.
By the way, that's a guy we need to get on the pod.
I mean, I just think that when you watch Norm MacDonald, even watching him on Last Comic Standing, he's so much smarter than everyone.
Yeah,
it has
such a dumbed down delivery and almost sarcastic. Just you know, you almost feel like, oh, is something wrong with this guy, and then you're like, oh no. There's something wrong with me because he's smarter than me and he's not even letting on about that at all.
He's just that much better than me.
Speaking of that much better than me.
Okay.
That sounds like the name of somebody that you ate dinner with on your trip to China.
I ate dinner with that much better than me. What's this? Okay. Yeah, you're holding your...
Little bread in China.
What the fuck? This sounds like the intro to one of those old-time Disney cartoons.
Like, June 6th, Brad Williams, comedian, actor, podcaster, went to China to perform for people.
I did go to China.
For 4 days and 5 nights. He had 22 dumplings, 6 reach-arounds.
Close.
7 reach arounds.
There you go. That's a little more accurate.
And mushu pork.
I mean, so much mushu pork. As we found out from.
But what was the food called?
No, dude. Got to go to China.
By the way, let's skip over the racist intro.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm trying to do that.
That was very Brad of me.
I don't know if that was.
But also, you.
Like a racist China, or I have expected to hear like a John Wayne voice going. I went over there to see a Chinaman.
No. No. That's a great John Wayne.
Is that a good John Wayne? My favorite John Wayne role is when he played Genghis Khan. And
did he really?
That's in one of the greatest examples of whitewashing in the history of modern film. John Wayne played Genghis Khan and said like and but didn't even change the accent, like didn't even be like, okay, maybe I'll try to do like a racist Chinese accent.
Just
flat out was like, we gotta keep the Mongols out. You're like, I doubt that's how Genghis Khan sounded.
What does he sound like? What did he sound like?
Oh god, if I try to do a Chinese impression, it just comes out absolutely horrible. I thought being in China would help. Would be like, okay,
so did
now,
I was
now
like,
I could be around it and I can kind of really get a feel for
in
it.
In fact, I thought the shows were a cover-up of you just trying to go over and perfect, just trim the racism.
Yeah.
So you're like,
trim
I got to
the racism.
If I'm around it,
yeah,
I will soak it in more. I'll come back the same way like when you come back from like London and people are like, oh, hey, so it's good having a drink. All right, I'll see you later, man. Cheers. And you're like, what the fuck did you say?
Did you say cheers?
You're
man?
From Glendale, Arizona, motherfucker.
you
do not
cheers.
Say cheers when you come back. I had friends doing that from the program.
Oh, I do it whenever I text with the whenever I exchange texts with Jim Jeffries.
That's fine.
I say like, oh, are you gigging tonight? I have never said that to anybody else. I will only say that to Jim.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you gigging?
That's not
because that's just what he
does.
Yeah,
but that's yeah, that doesn't sound that crazy.
Yeah, it's a gig, whatever.
I guess, yeah. Well, how would you, like, text me? Do you got a show tonight?
Yeah. Do you have a show or...
Less words, man, and way cooler.
Up? Yeah.
Guess what? I'm in.
Gigging.
I'm in with the gigging.
which should have been Sugar Smack's slogan. Instead of gig'em, it should have been...
I'm in with the gigging. That also sounds like a verse in the new Electric Slide.
Take it back now, y'all.
One, two, one, two.
I'm in with the gigging.
Turn around, up, down.
In with the gigging. You're like...
Drop step, turn around, two tip.
That's the time where you like looking at the DJ like, what the fuck do you do here? What is in with the gigging? Like, when he announced...
Yeah,
Charlie Brown, y'all. I'm like, what the fuck is a Charlie Brown? I'm looking at black guys, like, oh, like, do they know what a Charlie Brown is? What? I don't know how to fucking Charlie.
Yeah, but they have a new space suit.
What? What's that? Do I have to slide down a dinosaur?
One, two, one,
is
two.
Is that?
So turn around, up, down.
When you tell me it's Charlie Brown, does someone have to hold a football? I run in, try to kick it. They pull it. I miss. I fall. Like, is that how Charlie Brown? Yeah, that noise sounds. I have to listen to an adult sound like. Like, what the fuck is Charlie Brown? Damn it, black people. Send out a Facebook post. Something. Just by the way, Whitey, this is what we're doing now. We just need that.
Who is Whitey? Who are we referring to?
I'm pretty sure me. Whitey. I don't know.
It's just a collective we.
Yeah, just we, the white people. I don't want to say too much because it's going to sound kind of like, I don't want to do that.
We the white people, yeah.
Yeah, so, just Whitey in general, okay? Just a lighter skin pigmentation. Certainly the gingers.
Yeah.
Let's throw them in the mix as well.
Shout out to the gingers real quick.
Shout out to the gingers.
Do you remember that YouTube video of the ginger kid who posted that video of him screaming into the camera about wanting respect for gingers? It was around the same time Two Girls, One Cup came out because like those videos were being shared a lot.
Yeah.
Not pre-Facebook being so infiltrated with more shitty statuses of like, you know, I mean, maybe I'm not going to say shitty because I probably got friends that listen to this podcast. But look, I'm a little tired of the overly clever ways to tell us that the person in your stomach is a boy or a girl.
You know what? I'm with you.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
With the Ice Bucket Challenge, even that, there were ways to get creative and make it your own.
Sure.
But everybody was doing it, and you were like, that's just what's done. When we do this, you pour ice on your head.
Yes.
It's the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yes.
You challenge somebody.
Yeah.
The pieces of the puzzle are there.
Give some money to a charity.
Yeah. But
there's a good thing that comes of this.
But enough. It goes back to like if everybody jumped off a cliff and said, Yabba Dabba Doo spacesuit and quoted, I'm digging with it.
What the fuck is Yabba Dabba Doo spacesuit?
I don't know, but when I said it, I've never meant anything more in my entire life. That's not a real lyric.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What?
No, dude,
I smoked half a joint before this podcast.
Oh.
And then when I started singing, which, by the way, that was a great song, by the way. But
I was jamming.
Literally, I was so locked into that and could see myself wearing roller skates or whatever, and Yabba Dabba Doo spacesuit came out.
Yeah.
And it kind of rhymes. It's one of those off rhymes where you're like, you have to write it down on paper to be like, those letters don't match up, right?
Eminem would say he would bend a word to make that work.
Yeah. Well, it's like Greg Giraldo had that great joke where he goes, I think it was Lil Wayne has that song, no more dick to your pussy, just dick to your throat. I don't want to pay no child support. And he goes, now, I'm not saying that's a bad approach to life. I just don't want my kids growing up thinking that throat and support rhyme.
Yeah. Fuck, that's a great joke.
Unbelievable.
I'm with you on the people that are announcing on Facebook whether their child is a boy or a girl.
There's other ways.
How about you just say it's a boy, it's a girl? Do I have to solve a riddle? Do I have to look at, like, one candle is higher than another candle?
That's what it is. You're playing classic concentration.
One's burning. You're like,
solve the puzzle.
You know what this means.
No, we don't.
Like, no!
No, we don't, because we weren't there for the discussion about what the candle levels meant.
Yeah, does the bigger candle, is that a phallic representation?
Yes.
Does that mean bigger dick? Does that mean boy?
Or did you find out that your daughter was born with one tit? Like, and that was, like, a symbol of, like, the one tit prevails over the dick.
Yeah, and it's like all the...
There's signs and symbols and messages and hidden meetings and subtext.
Legos, and there's like blue shoes and
Jesus.
Pink.
I don't know. Sometimes the girls wear blue shoes.
Why wouldn't they?
So there are just other ways. There's in this day and age where you can make a movie on your phone.
Yeah.
Like, don't just do the... I don't know. There are more clever ways. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And look, their argument will be, well, then don't click on it. Well, fuck off. You know that's not how it works.
No.
You know that if... that if you got bright colors it's a big picture and it looks like something, and it's, hey, look, I'm also clicking on it because I love you and I support you and I want to know what's going on.
Sure. And then you look like a dick if you don't, because those gender announcements are the ones that will show up first on your timeline because everyone's clicking on it. Yes. Because obviously that's a huge moment in someone's life, and it shows up first on the timeline. And now if you're the one person that doesn't comment on it, that doesn't say, hey, good job making a penis or not making one.
Yeah.
Then now you're an asshole.
Yeah. Well, it's like my joke about my friend gave me shit for not commenting on the sonogram picture.
Yeah.
You know? Where I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah, and then I'd say, what was I supposed to say? I hope it doesn't look like that on the way out. Just to be supportive, just to have something below.
Right.
Because, you know, and why I didn't write anything is because I go, I don't even want to be involved in a sonogram photo. Yeah. I don't want to like it. I don't want to unlike it. I don't want to make a smiley face. There's so many options now to be like, this is how I feel about it. You know, sure. I didn't want to put her, this is how I'm feeling about it, whatever it was. And she didn't like that. I didn't do anything. When I ran over the kid's foot at Universal Studios as Wolverine and I couldn't think of what to say. I go, hang in there, bub. Sorry about that. Where are your parents? Couldn't think of anything, so said nothing. So what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is I ran over a kid's foot, stared him down as Wolverine, and drove away with the rest of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And that kid is scarred for life.
And now he is definitely Team DC. Definitely. He's like, Batman, Superman, fuck this whole X-Men thing.
He was around that age, like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
That's the age when you make up your mind about what fictional characters you will support for the rest of your life.
That's the age when I try to be the most sensitive around children that are staring at me for being a little person. Because if I know if I run after them and go like that, then they're like, oh, fuck.
Wait, what?
Dwarves do that.
I think you've told me you've done that before.
I did do that. But that was to a grown-ass man. That was to a grown-ass man when I was doing a tour of the Middle East that said, oh, my God, it's a demon. And then,
that's right.
And then I just started running after him, and I made quite the scene.
So incredible. And that's just how great you are to think to do that for the entertainment around you.
Sure.
Always a showman. You also are like, well, this is a great story. And then you also get defense, sticking up for yourself by doing that. By not just taking an insult and being like,
right.
No, now you put it on, now you're like, oh, cool, you're going to throw it? I'm going to throw it right back. And actually, it's going to stomp you to the ground.
Yeah, it's
a hat trick.
That might get me in trouble.
It's a hat trick of emotions.
Yes. I live on Hollywood and La Brea. I don't care. I'll say it. I got a building with a security guard. Life is good. Anyway.
There's many buildings. that is a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We don't say what building.
I'm doing all right. Anyway. So that's an area where there's a lot of, I'll just say, questionable people. That's not race. That's just mental state.
You didn't say anything about anything.
Yes.
All you said is that you live near Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes.
Which is home to some of the greatest crazies in the world.
I mean, if there was a Mount Rushmore of crazy, four of them would be from Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. And crazy's not even bad. Look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We all got a little crazy, and that's not even my words. That's Seal. And he was right. You know, you're never going to survive unless you get a little crazy. People on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, they're like, well, no, not only is that true, but we're also just, we're never going back to normal.
No, because you can't, like, once you've played.
Watch it. Played a what? Fake superhero? Watch it.
No, because you've done that. No, but like, but for an extended amount of time. Like, and for those who don't know, there's people on Hollywood Boulevard that just dress up as characters from movies, and they stand there, and then they take pictures of people, and then they expect tips. That is their job.
That is their job. And guess what? Sometimes they make enough in a week where you're like, oh, that's actually an appealing job because of how much cash you made.
And the best part is, because I live right there, is when I see them essentially going home, oh, man, there's nothing more awesome than like a girl in a Catwoman outfit just like walking down the street like it's nothing.
Wow.
Like it's, and then you stare.
But don't you
at her.
Love that type of confidence and that
type of.
I mean, it's so easy for us. And the amount of. I wonder who's gotten more just judgment and verbal abuse.
Uh huh.
The characters walking home at night who get catcalled or just judged or stared at, or NBA refs during the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's getting it more? Who's feeling bad more? Well, I guess.
Right.
The characters, it's
yeah. Well, at least
not
the characters. Well, the characters is pretty constant. Whereas the NBA refs, they at least, you know, they make a call for the home team and then they get a little You know, they get a little, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that,
you're
that,
right.
That one's good. We'll cheer that call. You know, blocking, like, and sometimes those refs know that that arena is going to explode. Like, yeah. Joey Crawford, when that, watch that ref call a blocking foul when he's at the home arena.
He's like Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun.
Oh, my God. He just, like, full, like, it's a pelvic thrust. It's, like, bringing the arm, like, huh! Like he's like, all right,
he probably
all right.
says that.
He's like, all right, you're playing that up, dude.
You don't do that motion without a giant verbal expression coinciding with it.
Yeah, it's
and you go Pacino nuts. On that.
Yeah, ooh.
What if he did block? And everyone's like, does he say block? No, he says hooah, but we know that that's block because
I don't know who this Steph Curry is, but he's gonna get knocked the fuck down.
Pacino.
Was that your first Pacino attempt?
On this podcast.
By the way, the Pacino attempt is a show.
that show needs to happen. Where damn are you, Hollywood?
That's TNT, because they know drama.
Oh, because it's just this Al Friday, Pacino.
This okay. Friday on TNT.
I'm here waiting for you.
He was one man waiting for you.
I'm just one man, hot. I'm just one man, sweetheart. I'm going to be here, and I'm just going to be watching you walk away, because you've got a great ass!
In a world where things were flippity-floppity.
I'm telling you, all these things are flippity-floppity.
And yabba-dabba-doo spacesuits were running out.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Do we have any more yabba-dabba spacesuits? I'm going to get those yabba-dabba spacesuits piece by piece. Piece by piece!
One man, one woman, one tiny Japanese boy named Kupachu.
It's been my dream to have a Japanese son. I don't know why. I have an affinity for breaking boards.
Father?
See? Father, I hate the sound of H. So I have a Japanese boy, so now I'm Father.
Haley Joel Osment is Kupachu. Denise Richards as Pam, the wife to Al Pacino.
Are you telling me I get to see Denise Richards?
And Nev Campbell as the hot, attractive, desirable babysitter.
Nev Campbell and Denise back together. First time since Wild Things. I saw the threesome scene. Ooh, it made little Al happy.
Watch Al Pacino try to aggressively orchestrate a threesome in The Pacino Attempt.
Listen. You kiss you, you both kiss Captain Winky.
Friday.
Ooh-ah.
Wow. Was that all right?
That was unbelievable.
All right, tweet me, people. Let me know if that was like,
by the way.
You tell me if that was an all right Pacino.
Not only was that an all right Pacino, that's a show I'd watch. Yo, Al Pacino tries to get the Wild Thing stars to fuck, and he's got a tiny boy named Capichu.
Oh, let me tell you, Capichu.
And he adopted this kid, and then this kid just hangs out. Well, every night Pacino tries to get two stars from a that did some sort of lesbian action.
Before
in the
you
film.
Go back to Japan.
Oh my God,
I'm
going to so
teach
funny.
You the best thing about America. Two women with your cock in the mouth.
And the Pacino attempt.
I like it. I like it. I mean, if they can make that impersonation show on USA, they could do the Pacino attempt.
Can I be honest? If I had enough money to have like six hot tubs in my apartment, I would also have the type of money at that point.
Like that. That's your barometer. I don't know if I'm. I'm like four hot tub rich.
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Might be security guard apartment living. I'm four hot tub living.
Four hot tub living is solid.
So if I'm there, then I'm also at the place to where I go back and re-listen to all the podcasts where we've come up with shows.
Yeah.
I hire a production team. I create a network.
Yeah.
And I make all those shows.
And then the ALN podcast shows. And then no one would be happier than Danny Glover. Because he'd be like,
oh my God,
I got 12 projects.
Or Mario Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
We've given so much potential...
Sure.
Hypothetical work to Glover and Lopez.
Absolutely. Which, by the way, that's the primetime cop drama. Glover and Lopez. Rumor Patrol. Wait, can I do a Mario? Rumor Patrol.
That's not even close.
I know it's not even close.
But I love how you Rumor Control.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't know.
Good. It's good. But I love.
I need to watch him a little
bit. But guess what? Yeah. Even your Pacino, it's like, was. St-
stupendous. And I haven't said that word since I stood up and gave a standing ovation to Mary Poppins live in the theater.
Stupendous! Somehow always in a British accent. You're like, why am I talking like this? And then all of a sudden I say, stupendous.
Well, it's like the... All right. I'm also going to be hot tub rich, and I'm going to be rich to pay Brad to only speak like that when I for like an hour a day.
How is it him? My TV show. My TV. Did some good. Did you finally meet Tony Danza?
Can you imagine being so rich you pay your friends to just like...
Oh, I would.
Be like, hey, dude, when you come over, like John Kite, you're coming over and you're talking like Jeff Bridges from 4 to 6.
Yeah. And
guess what? It's fun.
Right.
But it would probably wear on the friendship.
You know what? Maybe.
But maybe not. Depends on how much you're paying him.
Sure. If you're paying him mortgage money, if you're putting him into the one hot tub bracket just based on his voice salary.
Yeah.
Then I don't think he's going to be too mad at you.
Nope.
I mean, it's funny. Like I said, we talk about all these damn impressions and I don't know why the Chinese accent. I don't know why I can't get it.
Yeah.
But when I try it, I just sound like, was it Mickey Rooney?
From?
Mickey Rooney was in a film in the 80s. It was one of the John Hughes movies. He was either like Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles. Okay. And he played a Chinese guy. And it was the most racist thing in the history of television. That was where Michel, sorry, that's where that came from. Was a guy, I mean, we talk about John Wayne playing Genghis Khan, Mickey Rooney playing a Chinese guy was unbelievable. And you can't believe that this was an American film.
So I want to know, what was you went to China for how many days?
I was there for 7 days. Oh, yeah, 6 days, 7 nights, which was not the Harrison Ford and Haitian movie. 6 days, 7 nights. And, I didn't make that much money doing it, but as soon as someone said, you want to go to China, I was like, yeah, because when am I going to get a chance to do that?
Well, when you told me you were going, I was planning on going.
Yeah.
Because that's how excited I was at the idea of going to China. I was like, yeah. With a buddy, it's amazing. Oh. So it's very impressive that you went by yourself, by the way.
Dude, and... Here's how they trust you as being a grown ass man is they're like, all right, you get to your hotel, you take cabs or whatever, and then the next day I was flying, like every day I was flying. I was going to a new city, whether I was going to Chengdu or whether I was going to Hangzhou.
Nice.
Yeah, not just Shanghai and Beijing.
They sound like guys I would want to do karaoke with.
Hangzhou?
Characters from Mr. Baseball.
Well, Hangzhou sounds like a guy you don't want to meet in prison.
Hangzhou?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to hang out with Hangzhou.
Please tell me you said that.
Oh, I did, and the audience laughed. Now, because people, when I say perform in China, a lot of people go like, wait, was it for like Chinese people? Was it for...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and it wasn't for military. It was just gigs at places where anyone could show up, and thankfully there's a lot of... A term that I didn't know until I went there. They're called expats, which are people just who have moved away from America. Stands for expatriates, which is kind of hateful, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, they move away from America, and now they live in China. And so a lot of, and not just America, like North America, there was a lot of Scottish, British, Australian. They've all moved there, mostly to be English teachers.
Wow.
And you're performing for them because they're craving Western entertainment. And then you got some Chinese people that are like, well, I want to test my English. So I want to go see an American comedian. And
they're craving entertainment so bad, by the way, those American. I mean, like,
yeah.
Just because you forget that seeing live relatable entertainment is like kind of a novel. I mean, we for sure take it for granted because we got so much of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, even America's Got Talent, I was watching a little bit of tonight and couldn't believe, by the way, some of the acts that were on there. And it's like, but even that, I was like, it's not the same as seeing it live.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Those English teachers and whoever, what else, what other American professions were being filled?
I mean, geez, there was some engineers over there.
Yeah.
There was, and just a lot of people just coming over there. And one guy started an ice cream business. And then, because there's no copyright laws in China, the government just started the exact same ice cream business. And then fucked him over, so then he became a comedian.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's no copyright laws in China. That's why they were able to make like fake merchandise over there that looks like our stuff.
By the way, where's that movie?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So
what was it?
It was like called Mr. Tasty or Mr. Frosty or something like that. I think Mr. Tasty might have been the one from the Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon.
And Mr. Frosty was from The Simpsons, wasn't it? No, that was Mr. Tasty.
I'm not sure which was which, but it was just like this frozen yogurt shop, and he started making a lot of money, and the Chinese government was like, oh, that's how you make money. Okay. So then they opened up the same store and then gave him a lot of taxes that they didn't give the other ones and forced him to go out of business. And then
I hate that so much. And also, though, didn't the guy – I feel like you have to know something about the business etiquette over there if you're going to go start a business and go, like, this is a potential possibility.
Yes. And
if I get it, it's so successful,
yes,
it's just going to be taken from me. But hopefully I've
– Well, you would do it – you would put up all right, you know how like Magic Johnson is like he's not the main owner of the Dodgers, but he's kind of like the face of the Dodgers. In China, I believe you would need like a face who would actually be Chinese, because they don't want to know that an American came over here, started up a business.
So he should have tried to do that.
And is now killing it.
Yeah. He should have tried to like...
Yeah, like he stays back. He's the he's the silent partner. Like that.
Oh, that's probably the move, right? And that's probably what a lot of people do.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's things you don't realize. Like the first time I tried to log on to Twitter and it wouldn't go in, I was like, what the fuck is up with this? And then some of the comics are like, oh, yeah, there's no Twitter and there's no Facebook here. The government has outlawed it. And you're like, oh.
Well, that's right, because you hit me up at one point and you were like, hey, can you post some stuff?
Yeah, because I had to I had to get this one little gadget that a lot of the Westerners had, and I had to like attach it to my phone, and it kind of scrambled something, or it got some other signal, and then that's how you get onto Facebook and Twitter over there. It's insane.
What was that feeling like when you finally logged back on after what, 3 days of no FB?
Oh my god, I was just like reading everything, like okay, boy, girl, gender, okay, boy.
Yeah, you probably loved those. Oh. You were so happy to see familiarity.
Yeah. And just like, okay, so what kind of crazy shit has Trump said now? Okay, oh, wait, okay, great, caught up.
How do they feel about Trump?
Oh, they're laughing. The government in China, and I'm sorry to get kind of like teaching, but like, hey, this is a cool thing.
This is can I be honest? It's kind of your duty as an American.
Yeah.
If you go over somewhere
report back.
Yes. I love that you love to learn.
Well, yeah,
and you're very
was,
you soak
it,
up.
It was fascinating because the government in China over there is telling the rest of China, they're like saying, "Hey, you guys say you want democracy, that's what democracy gets you. Look what America's doing. Look at Trump. Democracy gets Trump, and so let's stick with communism." Like that's what they're doing over there. It's insane, and they're all laughing. They're all like now.
Do they think he's gonna win?
They're hoping he wins.
Why?
Because
they hate us.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
but we're made in China.
They want him to win because it's the same reason why now we kind of all want the Golden State Warriors to lose, because they're too good. So like so they want us to like kind of stumble and fall, be like, ha ha, you're not so good, America. So like they're sort of rooting for
to
win.
They want Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping to be our new national anthem.
I mean,
because if it gets that bad,
yeah, why not?
You need to start playing that
sure.
at every event
to inspire people.
Poker game, baptism, funeral, just to inspire what?
To inspire people.
Yeah,
yeah. Because
can you imagine if it got that bad?
Because you get knocked down. And then you get up again.
This Sunday, Chumbawamba guest stars on an all-new Pacino attempt.
You drink a whiskey drink. You drink a vodka drink. You drink a lager drink. Drink a cider drink.
Anne Heche.
Ooh-ah.
And Julia Roberts guest star in...
I can't do that. I can't do anything.
No, I thought those were going to be the two new girls for you to...
Oh, okay.
You kiss you. Because that's in every episode.
You were a pretty woman. You were a lesbian for like... a month. It's perfect.
No, but I like the...
You kiss you. Then you kiss you. That's how you get any...
That's
how you get
so funny.
Going.
God, that's so funny. That's... Brad, can I be honest?
Yeah.
I'm going to pitch that as a fake show sketch to Mad, and you will have to be in it in some fashion.
I
you're Capiccio.
Yes.
Or is Bobby Capiccio?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if he comes back,
Bobby might be Capiccio.
No, because, maybe you're Capiccio.
Well, because there's no doubt that Piot, that's a cast member. I'm not. That's not a. It's not a insult to someone.
It does sound like a Polish slur or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like what Mad Mardigan would have called the Willows.
Yeah, because he called us pecs.
Yeah.
I say us like I was in the fucking movie.
No?
He called dwarves pecs in that movie. So, yeah. Get away from me, you peot. Yeah.
I felt that way when I saw Schindler's List, though. I go...
There you go.
You know, I felt they were connected.
I like that we're comparing Willow to Schindler's List.
All right,
my
well,
people.
Look, it sounded good when it came out. but I feel you know, like you do. Hey, more connected.
Yeah.
More. It's you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like when I saw Finding Nemo or Finding Dory while eating. Yeah. By the way, it was in long.
Don't say fish sticks.
Yeah. Oh God, I bought fish and chips
you're just
and
like,
brought them in and didn't even think about it.
You're just like, what's gonna happen to Dory, Mama? Crunch. What?
Yes, I was. So. But what I was going to say is those fish sticks, they knew, they felt Dory's pain. And by the way, I'm not giving away too much. Dory gets lost. Or no, Dory loses her parents.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's in the trailer.
The movie's made $100 million. People have seen it.
Yeah.
You're good at this.
How were the shows?
Shows were fantastic because people were so starved for Western culture. The people that wanted to see it. And they were really intelligent. They knew what was going on in the United States of America. I didn't have to like change my act and like be like, oh man, they only would know that in America, so they're not gonna know that here in China. Like, no, they're in tune. They know what's going on. So I didn't have to change the act. It was weird. But I mean, I still wanted to do some local jokes.
And you're good. You and I both do that. I think I actually picked that up from you from when I opened for you about like seeing you do. A few things up top that were local or just something that they could connect to immediately and be like,
and
oh, cool.
Go, oh, this isn't the same shit that he's doing in every city. This is just for us. And
also it goes, oh, he's taking an interest in where we live. And that immediately makes them go,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah. I see what you're doing here. And the first joke that I did that was local, which was absolutely amazing to me. I thought that the Chinese were the most racist people that I had ever met when I landed, because I heard the N-word like crazy. I was like, what? Everyone's cursing over the loudspeakers.
Like they would sneeze and say it. It was
yes,
so much a
like
part of that.
Over the loudspeakers, they would say it in the airport.
Jesus,
people like just, wait. Everyone was saying cab
and nobody
drivers
would turn. Would only Americans turn to look at other Americans and be like, did they just say? Is that a passenger?
Who lost their luggage? Yeah. And then I found out that the Chinese word for essentially what translates as or is the N-word.
What?
Yes.
The fuck?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
I don't know. But when you're going over there as an American, it's the craziest thing.
How come nobody talks about that?
Because they don't really know about it. And then I went over there and, listen, I have to say the word for the fucking joke. Don't isolate the audio. Be like, Brad's a racist. Okay. But like, literally, it's like, oh, and you're like, wait, what? Go back.
Whoa.
Go back. What the fuck did you just say? Mushu, that's not on the menu.
No, that's...
And you're, wow. And like you're just freaking out, and then someone finally told me, they're like, yeah, that's the word for like that's their filler.
I don't even know. Whatever. They're in different countries, so they don't care that it would somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that Americans do things, and the same way. And this, going back to Jim Jefferies, the same way. He thinks nothing of saying the word cunt because he's just like, that's Australia.
It's normal
that's,
vernacular
that's
in there.
What we
their
do.
Parts. Yeah.
And then he brings that to America and everyone gasps.
Isn't
so,
it great? He's also got an effortless like ease to his delivery and his voice.
The accent helps.
Yeah. So
because American accent, it's like cunt. It's very hard.
It's hard.
Ooh. It's but anyway, it's he says it. It's a, you're a cunt, aren't
like,
you?
Yeah. It sounds like a furry little animal.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I'm a cunt. I live in the forest.
Yeah. There's a cunt. They got a new cunt at the zoo. It's actually next to the kangaroo exhibit. Yeah. I think their names are like Elmore the Cunt. And there's like Eldris.
By the way, Cunts and Kangas is a great Saturday morning cartoon.
Cunts and Kangas. Oh, God.
Oh, that's too much.
Well, yeah. I'm pumped that you got so much.
Yeah.
I mean, active culture just
sure
oozed in your face. I mean, like, what was the living situation like?
You know, it was just hotels.
But could you enough American going on where you can navigate, or like getting a cab? I mean, well, did you have to learn the saying and
no.
Did they see you? honest question.
Thankfully, I had this guy who's a comic over there named Muhammad, who was so damn funny. And it's always so cool to go to another country and not only, like, as a comedian, to travel and then really we're going to Iowa and we see the local talent there being awesome, but to go to China and see, like, the local comedy talent in China be really strong, you're like, oh, man. So Muhammad was kind of like my guide. I'm not changing to Islam. I'm just saying his actual name was Muhammad. So Muhammad was my guide, and he would take me.
Someone's been on an ayahuasca trip.
He would take me on a scooter. So I would ride on the back of his scooter.
And how dare you not post any video of you on a scooter?
And my ass, let me tell you, if you thought my ass looked good without the scooter,
I do.
Holy shit. My ass on a scooter looked like it belonged to that DMX video.
Good for you.
It was pretty damn sweet.
How? I mean, that's also the best to be just transported by a scooter.
Yeah.
Because you're getting to see more, right?
Yes.
Because you're outdoors.
Yeah, and you can go and scooters go everywhere there. Scooters, like, they're official mode of transportation. And they go up on sidewalks. They go on the street. They're going fucking everywhere.
You guys should have picked up some Chinese food and then just showed up at a doorstop and with you delivering it and be like, it's a new special, like, underground Chinese delivery service.
the weirdest part was that some people did to me what Americans do to Mexicans or something when they don't speak English is you just speak the language that that person doesn't know, but you speak it slower. So I would say, like, I would throw up my hands, like, I don't know, I speak English. And then some Chinese people would look at me and go, She Shen Tun Tuan Hua. And you're like, I don't fucking know. You doing it slower just means I don't fucking know slower. So there was one point where a cab driver was trying to drop me off at the airport, and he was trying to tell me, he was trying to say, what terminal are you in? Like, what airline.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that because what an airline weren't in the sentence. So I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And then so he pulls over into this shopping center and he gets out of the car to find someone to speak English. And by the way, I don't know why he's doing this. So I just think my driver left me. I think he's like, oh, great. Fuck. Okay. Now I'm ditched here. And then while he's running around trying to find someone to speak English, he pulled in front of a car that was parked. This guy comes into this car, and he's got to pull out, and he's like, you're blocking me in. And I'm like, I can't. A, two things. One, don't know what the fuck you're saying. B, midget, can't drive the car, can't reach. So this guy got into the car. This is now a new guy who I don't fucking know just hops in the car, pulls it up two spaces, and then gets out. So, like, it was the most surreal thing. I'm like, oh, this is like – because, sure, in his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to get in the car. I'm going to pull up two spaces, and then I'm going to be able to pull out. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is my moment from the movie Taken. Like, this is how it starts. We got to call Liam Neeson.
Did you ever – legitimately feel overwhelmed with the population and the amount of people coming at you that maybe, like, you could just, like, it wouldn't be much for somebody just to, like, I don't know, grab you and push you down a sewer. Like, I don't know, like, just there's so many people. I'm just saying, does it feel I get somewhat of anxiety when I'm in, it's like a lot of people sometimes at Disneyland. Yes, the pop brownie helps, but, like, it's just a little too much.
Yeah,
and New York has that vibe sometimes.
Yeah, definitely there are some crowds in Shanghai and Beijing that felt kind of suffocating. And not only the crowds, but the air quality.
Smog.
We live in Los Angeles, so I went over there going, all right, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good because I'm
used to it. It was worse than L.A.? Yeah, it was.
Dude, like, my eyes would start to water, and like I
well,
would
they were playing. Let's be honest, they were playing. They were playing 500 Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
I do get emotional. Don't do it, yeah. We're doing a podcast. We gotta do our jobs. Listen, it was in college, man. It's emotional time. I was trying to find myself. But yeah, the air quality is definitely a thing,
but they're used to it, so they're not. They don't talk about it,
Yeah, they're not. They
like, what are we gonna do? Have less cars and people?
Right.
No, in fact, we're gonna have more.
Yeah.
So.
And they don't stop to see why the stupid American is crying. You know, and it's like, no, it's just air, guys. It's air. They're like, oh, that stupid American, he lost. So yeah, that's all they're thinking, but. It was an amazing trip. I love that I did it. I will absolutely go back.
Oh, you will go back?
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Hopefully with a little less with the travel stress coming back.
Yes.
Coming back, I did two flights, one to Taiwan and then one to Los Angeles. My initial flight to Taiwan was delayed 3 hours, so I missed my connecting flight from Taiwan to Los Angeles, which means I had to stay in the Taiwan airport.
Overnight.
Until the next flight, which was 9 hours. And,
what did you do? Was this a sleeping
there,
section?
I made one.
9 hours, dude.
Yeah, 9 hours. And by the way, you can't talk to people. You can't talk to anyone.
Brad, what? Did you kind of, like, that's...
I was going a little bit insane.
That was your castaway.
Yeah. And
by the way, that's the worst game show ever. Like, this is your life when it's like, you know... Oh. Taj Peterson, this is your life. And then they give them all these free prizes. Isn't that what happens?
Wait, what?
I don't know. This is your life. That's a show.
Yeah, they recount like a celebrity's life.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
they bring out like their English teacher.
Yeah, so this is your castaway where they like kidnap you from your home and put you on an island?
Yeah, just put me in the Taiwanese airport where no one spoke English. I couldn't speak to anyone. Thank God there was internet, and thank God they didn't have the same sanctions. So I had like Netflix and Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And stuff.
So you watched?
So at least that I watched everything.
What do you watch when you have 9 hours? Like, what do you start with, and what do you
comedy specials? Cool. I watched Bo Burnham's new special,
and
which was awesome.
Can't wait.
Watched Patton Oswalt's new special, which
that was
great,
phenomenal.
Loved it, and so I watched that in the airport, and now I'm just the guy who's cracking up because. I'm like, just to hear myself say anything, I'm laughing.
Hearing your own laughter was like, I'm hearing a voice that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and just
wow. There was no Americans in the airport. You didn't want to go strike up a conversation and be like, "Hey, man, it's just you."
Definitely moments when I would see a white person and kind of like give them like the same nod I give other dwarves when I see them, like, you know, the struggle. But that just. Like I felt uncomfortable just walking up to someone and being like, "Well, you're American. Let's talk. Let's be friends." Like I didn't want to do that because then what if the person turns out to be an asshole?
Yeah. No, that's Norm. Any questions for Brad about China?
About China.
You can hop on the mic.
move a little slower. It's cool. We've got time.
We got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What was your favorite food when you were over there?
Favorite food was a breakfast food. It was like this fried pumpkin pastry that was awesome.
Was it a dessert?
No. It was just like I saw people eating it just right, and it was awesome. I don't know what that is. If someone could let me know what that is, maybe that's not even a Chinese thing. Maybe that's just that hotel thing.
Yeah.
That was great. But I love the fact that there was, like, noodles for breakfast. Like, that was awesome. And, like, okay, here's the thing.
Great band name. Haven't said it in a long time, but Noodles for Breakfast is playing at the Troubadour.
That's pretty solid. Noodles for Breakfast. But, your breakfast was noodles.
Not like pad thai.
No. But, like oh, man.
Warm noodles? I'm guessing they're warm.
Warm noodles, and they're just fucking better than we've had over here. And now I sound like a snob, but I don't care.
No, they are.
They were.
Guinness is better in Ireland. Matzo ball soup's better in Israel.
Absolutely.
And
noodles.
Noodles are better in China.
Absolutely.
What about the drinking over there? Is the beer?
Beer they have, American beer. But
they love vodka, right? No. What are the
no?
What's that? The popular beverage over there?
They just stick wasabi to the face.
It's that
sake.
That's
wasabi.
That's oh. Japanese. You racist bastard.
You know what though? Is it racist or just uninformed?
That's what it is.
By the way, that's a show.
I mean,
where you have on racist people and go, and now the audience, let's vote. And they're clearly racist. You're like, racist or uninformed? Everyone's like, always racist, man. That guy literally is wearing a Ku Klux Klan hat.
I feel that's how Trump should end every one of his speeches. Just, I'm not racist. I'm just uninformed.
Wow. Like that. Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
Oh, God. And some people would be like, got a point there. Yeah, uninformed. I'm uninformed. I ain't formed.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy.
Drinks is pretty standard. They had pretty much all the beverages we have over here. The only thing is orange juice over there sucks. And
Jesus.
Orange juice over there tastes like, all right, like if you got Sunny Delight, put it in your fridge, went backpacking around Europe, came back, went, oh shit, I've got Sunny D, and then you took a drink of that. That's what that's what their orange juice tastes like.
Yuck.
And then they don't know how to do bacon. It's sad. They can do pork. They can do pork belly. Oh my God, that's good. Which is weird because that's the same fucking thing. But yeah, they couldn't do bacon.
And what was your hotel situation like?
Just every hotel was a little different, but they were nice hotels. Yeah. It was solid.
Did you karaoke?
No, I tried.
What?
Oh man, there was like this.
Did they let you in?
No, I just. There was a thing where, like, shows were done.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to wake
exhausted.
Up at 6 a.m.
There was no time for any nighttime activity, probably.
Yeah. I had one night in Shanghai where I went out all night, went out with a group of people, did this thing that one of the other comics got on tape. I've been trying to get the clip from him.
The Yabba Dabba Doo space suit?
Yes. Where I would start to follow Chinese people just be doing crazy dances behind them as they're walking down the street, and then they would turn around, and then I would just like.
That's great.
Yeah, just kind of be chilling. But it was a great trip. I definitely want to do it again.
Any Yao Ming posters?
All of them.
I mean, let's talk about how popular he actually is over there.
That was like the common ground that I could have with people. Is I would be like, Yao Ming? Like, because that's what I would do.
Does he trump Kobe over there?
Or by far. No.
Really?
Yao Ming by far.
Okay.
By far.
But you know what's so funny about...
They love Kobe, but yeah. Yao Ming by far.
You know what's so funny about you saying that? I feel like when my dad was a cardiovascular surgeon in downtown Seattle, and he had some of these Chinese doctors that he worked with, and one of them came over once, and I remember like English being very, I was about to say very not good, which is just hilarious. English was very not good, bad,
yeah.
Good, bad.
Yeah, right.
And so, but he remember him saying at one point, he was like, "In Shong Kemp, Gary Payton," and I was like, friend.
Right.
You know, so
that's
like,
how you bond.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it sounds stupid. It sounds, but yeah. If there was a Chinese person who came over here and started, you know, saying like LeBron James, you'd be like,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, okay, now we could talk about that. Which I don't know what that accent was. Don't ask me to say what it was.
And on the flip side, if they said like Kim Kardashian, you would be like,
get out.
Like this seat's taken.
You're like, we're gonna build a wall. We're gonna keep out all you. Oh, you fucking foreigners.
What if he just got on and said he wants to keep out the Kardashians? He goes, I want to keep up with them, and I want to keep them out. I want to keep them up and out.
Oh, man, I might.
I want to keep up with them on the other side of the wall.
I might. That might swing my vote.
Yikes.
It's weird. I had I made a tweet today that said... I don't have a swear jar. I have a Kardashian jar. Where,
oh, I did see that. That was one of your best posts in a long time.
Where,
read it.
Yeah, okay. I don't have a swear jar. I have a Kardashian jar where if you come in my house and you talk about the Kardashians, I throw the jar at you. And
that's a brilliant joke.
Someone gave me a great idea where they're like, you should sell Kardashian jars at your shows. I'm like, I mean, you realize it's just going to be me with a label maker putting it on a jar. But at the same time, I think some people might buy that shit.
Well, I want to know who made the decision to name their show Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because that's what bothers me the most, I think.
Really?
Super, I mean, obviously they love themselves, but the name of that show is like, really? Like, this is, I don't know.
And that was Norm's hot take, everyone. Norm's.
We'll be right back with more Norm's hot take.
All right, Norm, you know, a lot going on in the news. So what's your hot take today, Norm?
Oh, man, there's a lot going on right now. We got Trump almost president, scaring the shit out of all of us. We got...
this has been Norm's hot take. All you need is one half of a beat after the pause, and that's the end. It's always one kind of stance and then a lot of, huh?
That's all I got.
And that's it. And that's when it goes, this has been Norm's hot take.
That's all I got.
Yeah. It's like that's incredible.
That's a button.
Norm, I do want to know, and Brad, I want to know from you too.
Sure.
And then we'll end our last 5 or so minutes on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because something happened in my life that was, I don't want to say monumental, but I got closure. No, I'm not talking about an ex, but I kind of am.
Oh,
get into
okay.
it.
Okay,
as we all know, I am from the great Pacific Northwest, Lake Forest Park, Washington. Born and raised. Shout out LFP. What up, Dolphins?
That's weird.
Yeah, we were the Dolphins, and we wanted to change it.
Like you've never mentioned that you're from Seattle, so I'm well,
look, the flannel, the hats, the chest hair, the calf work—it all speaks for itself.
The calf work.
So
we all know Seattle's known for coffee and calves.
The Peyton posters, the Buhner prayers.
Yeah. That sounds like if Robin Leach hosted a show in Washington. That's right, and Peyton posters and Buhner prayers.
Well, no, I want to know, is there that much Seattle pride in Seattle, or are you like...
No, dude, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Hey, I think you know what? As someone who's been to a Seahawks game, I've been there in Seattle. There's a lot. There's a lot of Seattle pride.
Okay. There is. Boy, real quick, I rehashed that the other day with somebody where I was telling how Brad and I got to go to the Niners-Seattle game when we won 49-3.
Yep.
And we got to go into a suite at halftime, and we stayed. It was a quick... like pop in my buddy I'm helping run the suite for Marcus Trufant's family. We get in there, other people in that suite who were the deciders of who gets to stay sees Brad and goes, oh my god, we men. And I look at Brad, and the guy was so excited, and this guy ran the suite, and Brad looks at me and just gave me like a fucking like salute, nod, wink, whatever it was. It was like, and then he just turns back and goes, fellas! And
you
we
like
stay there the rest of the game.
And that got me in a sweep for the rest of the game.
And it's like, you son of a bitch, you're brilliant. Well, there's a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And look, the Sonics leaving was a big deal. I don't know. You can't ever... I even saw Brady Matthews post today about a picture of Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Butler. And he goes, I don't know what I'm looking at. And I go, you're looking at a team that you get to root for. You have a team. It's a weird team. Damn. But it's a team.
Right.
Think about that.
So this hurts. This is...
It did hurt.
Yeah.
But there's closure because Kevin Durant, who we drafted.
Right.
Who I saw play 3 times.
Right.
Which is a lot because guess what? I was living here.
Jersey. Yeah.
And I made trips to go back home to see the beginning of the new chapter of the next... You know, I didn't have to... Away with the Buhner prayers.
Away with the Buhner prayers.
So here I am watching the future, and then all of a sudden, not only was he gone, it would have been weird if the song stayed and all of a sudden they traded Durant after the first year.
Sure.
But guess what? The team, point being, he's now part of the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. He's not in Oklahoma City. And what that means is, the heartbreak that was felt that day in Seattle, and that still probably is somewhere deep in my heart. Which sounds like the beginning
Phil Collins,
I was gonna say BB Mac song. I was so happy. I saw it and I go, yeah, guess what, Oklahoma City? You're done. You're fired from the League of Champions, of potential winners.
Yeah.
Westbrook's leaving now, Ibaka already left.
Yeah. So they're gonna be the
You gotta start over. And
they're gonna be the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Sorry.
And guess what?
Sorry, Milwaukee.
I forgot that was even a team.
Yeah, that's why.
But were you an OKC fan when Durant
Never.
Came over?
Okay. Never. I was a Kevin Durant fan. People always ask, and I go, I was a Kevin Durant fan because we drafted him, and I wanted him to do well, and he's a good kid, and he had no choice over it. I was also a Nick Collison fan for that point. Nick Collison was a Sonic for years and left, and he had a place in Seattle, and he came out and said he was bummed. Even Durant said he was bummed. He was like, I loved this city.
Yeah.
And I mean, your GOAT was Nate Robinson, though. Let's not forget.
What do you mean?
Wasn't he a supersonic, Nate Robinson?
No, but he was from Seattle.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, for sure. This has been Norm's Hot Take.
Nate Robinson. Norm's Hot Take.
This has been Norm's NBA Perspective. So, anyway, closure. Yeah. He's gone. I can rest assured now that, guess what? All the pain I went through. Not that I want anyone to go through pain, but guess what? That's what you get.
Sure.
You know? Sure. Oklahoma City, you guys rallied around it. And not that you needed to put your foot down and go, no. Leave that team there. We don't want them. That's not right what you're doing.
Right.
You didn't have to do that, but you took it. You rooted for them. And I saw people burning jerseys. I go, you didn't even have jerseys to burn at one point, and now you're buying them and burning them?
Right. And he gave you 9 years?
9 glorious years of NBA competition.
Yeah.
And guess what? You still have the team. That's what I don't get. Them burning jerseys, I'm like, you still have the fucking team.
Right. Like, you still have something to root for.
Yes, and they will come back, and guess what? LeBron and these guys will still make their rounds through your city to play, and you can still get to bring your kids to those games.
Yeah.
You know where I got to bring my kids if I have them at some point? Hey, you want to see Sue Bird?
Who's Sue Bird?
Exactly. Now, she's actually a point guard for the WNBA Seattle Storm Champions, which drink four if
the YMCA.
If you're playing the When Will Adams Say WNBA Champions.
Well, did you see it today in NBA News? It's not a hot take. This is a fact.
I was waiting for the beat, and I was coming in. I was coming in.
Norm's hot takes.
Wade goes to the Bulls.
Right.
And if they play this story of him coming home to Chicago, I feel like you spend 13 years in Miami, you can't say this is a coming home party. Because he's not been home.
Yeah, ever, like his home is in Miami. Like that's like, where he's sort of left. You know, this wasn't a LeBron, I was in Cleveland for a while, I left. But hey, I left there for a couple of years, got my title, so I'm going to come back, and I'm going to win you one. No, this isn't. And plus, like, Rose is left, so like, sorry, Chicago, but you're going to be shit for a while.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm saying this as a Lakers fan who I know we're going to be shit for a while.
It's big, but...
Nope, you might get Westbrook.
Ooh.
And Julius Randle.
There's
Randall's
a lot
healthy.
Of talk about you getting Westbrook.
I hope
and
so.
And I think that's going to happen.
And then the new... And we got Timothy Mozgov for... Six.
All right. Well, that is just like that is just like when the Sonics signed Jim McElvain to 5 years, $68 million.
What the?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what is? Whatever. It doesn't matter because those guys that, dude, with the money being paid like that, we're gonna see less and less players care.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Well, because they got like and people forget NBA. Here's the difference: NFL contracts are not guaranteed. NFL contracts, after like 2 years, they can be like, oh, you know what? You're sucking now. We're just going to let you out of your contract. And then all of a sudden, that 10-year, $500 million deal or whatever is worth jack shit. But NBA money is guaranteed. So when Timothy Mozgov is 4 years, $64 million, he will get that $64 million. So yeah, there is a little less of in that, and especially when you got super teams being made. Like, damn Warriors, everyone's like, why the fuck should we even show up when... And now, like, Ray Allen's trying to come out of retirement just to join the Warriors. Like, I could shoot 1-3 a game.
That whole business versus passion argument where, you know, you got a guy... Back to D-Wade, it's you got these rings, you got the money. Why move? There's no... It's a business move.
Yeah.
It just pissed me off.
Yeah. And then I hate that some people are burning... D-Wade jerseys.
Right.
It's like, he won you two titles?
Three. And one he did
three,
alone.
Three yeah.
in Miami. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. One, yeah.
He had Shaq,
yeah,
I guess, but.
One was Shaq, and then two with LeBron.
Yeah.
He won you three titles. Listen.
Durant's going to get one. Warriors going to do it. That's an unstoppable foursome. And I've only said that when I've seen a Kardashian sex tape.
Just talking about the two ass cheeks and the two titties. That's an unstoppable foursome.
Good night, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now
listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.